we turn around and we see the miracles of God in our own life and the provision or maybe the healing or maybe the word. And then next week we forget all about it, don't we? We forget all about it and we go, oh Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? And God says, you know what? You need to build yourself a memorial.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and welcome. On today's program, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Old Testament book of Joshua with the conclusion to the message, The Stones of Gilgal. Now, let's join the study.
And they gather up stones that had not been seen before. And they put them on their shoulders and they carry them 8 miles all the way to Gilgal. And that's where they place them and set them down. Now, listen, that's where they're going to camp that night. And this would be the first memorial, if you will. These heap of stones would be the first memorial built in the land of Canaan by the children of Israel. And Gilgal, as we'll learn later, will become like the center of operations or the command post for Joshua. It's located about 2 miles away from Jericho. That's going to fall in a couple of chapters. Now, Joshua does something that is so strange now in verse 9. And, you know, we're not told that the Lord God commanded him to do it, but I believe in my heart that God did. And if God didn't, maybe Joshua asked the Lord if he could do it, because there's a specific reason which we'll make application later on. But let's look at verse 9. Look at what he did. And then Joshua, he himself, he set up 12 stones where? Right in the middle of the dried up Jordan River, in the exact place where the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are here to this day. I'll come back to this verse in a moment. So the priest who bore the Ark, they stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord God had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried, and they crossed over. And then it came to pass, when all the people crossed over, that the Ark of the Covenant and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. So the priest and the Ark were the first ones in, and they were the last ones out until all the people were protected, until they crossed over. And the men of Reuben, of Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, look how they crossed over now, very important. They crossed over armed, prepared for war, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000, and they were prepared for war. They crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Only the men of war there from Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, only those crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. The rest of their families and the older men who were too old to go and fight, they remained there on the east side of the Jordan. You know, I look at that and I wonder how in the world they must have felt. There they saw all the people, all say 2 million, cross over. And there is Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh, the ones that are left, except the guys that went to fight, okay? And then the Jordan fills back up, and they're cut off. I mean, do you think there might have been somebody over there said, I wish I'd have gone in? Amen. You know what? But no, they wanted to stay on that side. Remember why? Because they had much livestock, and they loved that part of the land. It was very fertile and so forth. And they settled for less. They stopped short of what God wanted for them, and so they stayed there. But, you know, we have to cross over into our Jordans that God gives us, and we have to cross over armed and ready for battle. Amen? Amen. And the thing is that we need to know tonight is you can't take the land unless you go into the land. That's why we're going over there. Amen? Amen. That's why we're going to love people and bring the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who always, always, not sometimes, who always leads us in victory or in triumph. Listen, every place that God is leading this church and leading you, no matter how difficult or easy, if you're following the Lord, listen, He is leading us always in victory. Amen? Amen. Oh, how we need to always remember that, that even tomorrow, whatever your difficult circumstance might be, you need to say to yourself, I say to myself as well, I'm headed toward victory. I'm not headed toward defeat. And the reason I'm not is because I'm following the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to believe in our heart. Verse 14, and on that day, the Lord made great or exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So remember what God had promised now has now come to pass. And then the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, oh, command the priest who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks as before, with one exception. There was 12 stones, a memorial that Joshua, he himself, had built and set up with human hands right there in the middle of the Jordan. I know it's not recorded, but I feel certain, I believe with all my heart, that Joshua stood there on the banks and he watched the water of the Jordan River rushing back in there all over the dry land and then covering those stones that he no longer saw. Only God knew where they were then. And I think about that and I say, oh Lord, you know, this is such a wonderful moment for them. And you know, there's a reason why Joshua did that. And more on that in a minute though. Let's look at verse 19. And now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. So that would be the harvest time, you know, March and April. And they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. So the same day that the Passover lamb was selected back all those years ago, 40 years ago, there in Egypt, when Moses took the children of Israel out by the blood of the lamb. There they are on that same very night when they were preparing for Passover. Remember, 4 days later, which would be the 14th of Nisan, or that particular month, is when they kill the lamb, which is represents, of course, our Lord, the Lamb of God. So for 40 years, they were wandering there in the wilderness. And you know what? Now the Jordan has overflowed its banks. It's washed away their past. It's washed away all of it. You see, we'll learn in chapter 5 that the word Gilgal means rolling. And that God will say in Gilgal, he'll say to Joshua, I have rolled away the reproach of Israel. They've crossed over into their inheritance, and now they're ready to fight for the new land. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set them up in Gilgal. Remember, a reminder for all of them to see there, a memorial. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, well, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. Now, what is God saying? When your kiddos ask you, boy, you need to tell them. Parents need to teach their children. You know, don't neglect that. You only have so long to be with your kids. And then they're going to grow up, and then they're going to think they know everything by the time they're 5, okay? You know? Look at verse 24. He says, and then when he dried everything up and you've crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth, not just a few, no, everyone, all peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. In other words, he's all-powerful, and that you may fear the Lord your God for how long? Forever. So the children of Israel, they're now 2 miles, about 2 miles, I guess, they're from Jericho. And the first thing they did was set up guard posts all around. No, the first thing they did was to set up a memorial. That's what Joshua did. He put all those stones up. He built that memorial. Now they're going to spend their first night in the land of promise. And right in their midst is going to be the memorial that Joshua built. Why? You know, God again gives them a visual. Do you think some of them were now worried, we can't get back, we can't go back across? You know what? Once you've crossed the Jordan, you can't go back. Amen? There's no way to get back. And, you know, we need to remember that too. You know, no one is fit for the kingdom of God that looks back, Jesus said. No, we're not looking back. We're looking forward. We're moving ahead. And so God gave him this faith builder, if you will, this visual to say, you know, remember what I just did. Remember, forever remember. Teach your children. So these memorial stones here, they were not only the duty of remembering, but they're also a warning about the danger of forgetting. Now, I read that story about, you know, God raising the waters of the Jordan River up as a heap going all the way back 18, 20 miles to the city of Adam. I don't think I could ever forget that. Would you? No. And I say, Lord, how in the world, you know, would they ever forget anything like that? The children of Israel, I mean, that incredible miracle. But then, you know, we turn around and we see the miracles of God in our own life and the provision or maybe the healing or maybe the word or whatever you needed. And then next week, we forget all about it, don't we? Come on. Don't be religious tonight. We forget all about it. And we go, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? And God says, you know what? You need to build yourself a memorial. That's what you need to do. You know, I remember years ago, I think it was 2002, you know, because I came to the Lord in the eighth month of the eighth day, and which eight is the number of a new beginning. And I remember the Lord told me, I want you to go back to the very spot that you received me into your heart. And I called the gentleman who led me to the Lord, and I said, I'm flying down to Florida. I said, would you come with me? I said, I'm going to go build a memorial, and I'm going to build it for the Lord and for me that I will never forget what God has done in my life. So on the eighth day, there in the eighth month, I stood there on the sands of Jacksonville Beach in Jacksonville, Florida, and knelt down and rededicated my life to Jesus Christ. And then he did the same thing. We've never forgotten that day. We spoke about it just recently, about the day that we built a memorial to remember all the things that God has done for us. Oh, don't ever forget the good things God has done. You know, how we must remember those things. Now, look back with me to verse 9. It says, and then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, okay? And in the exact place where the priest stood and so forth. Do you think that there in verse 9, do you think that was an emotional moment for him? It had to have been. I'm talking about a super emotional moment for Joshua. I mean, he probably looked there in the distance, and he knew that what he was doing, and he did it for building a memorial, like I was telling you about when I was at the beach. I know that he had to look off in the distance and see Mount Nebo. You know, that's where Moses, that he loved so dearly, where God buried him. He had to remember, you know, because he was born a slave in Egypt. He served all of his life there as a slave and then came out. He was Moses' assistant and went up. He was on the mount with Moses, remember, halfway up, waiting for him to come down. Joshua was a great man. And all of a sudden, he was just thanking God, I build this for you. I build it for me. I never will ever, ever, ever forget this day. What? The 12 stones of Gilgal and the 12 stones in the River Jordan. What do they really mean? What do these stones mean? Well, they're no doubt they're a picture of the death and resurrection, if you will, if we look in a New Testament way, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's something that pertains to us as well. You know, the stones in the Jordan, they're going to be buried in a watery grave. Amen? And they're never going to be seen. They're going to be covered completely up. But it doesn't necessarily speak so much of, say, our water baptism as it does our identification that we have with our Lord and Savior. You see, that is a picture, actually. See, the Jordan, when you cross over, you're born again. You follow me? It's a whole new world. It's a whole new day. It's a whole new beginning. So what happens when we cross over? It's a picture of our old life. We're no longer wandering in the world or 40 years like the children of Israel. Oh, no, the old life is gone. It's a new day. It's a new time. It's a brand new beginning. All of our past failures are buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? I'm so thankful for that. For there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a new beginning, and it's also a new identity that we have in Christ. Turn with me, and let's make some application to this now. Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1. Romans chapter 6 in the New Testament, beginning in verse 1, Paul says this. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Verse 3, look at it now. Do you not know? I pray you know tonight. Do you not know that as many of us as were immersed or baptized into, literally means to be made with or in union, into Christ Jesus were baptized or literally immersed into his death, meaning his death became our death and so forth. Now, if you just do a little homework, let me just read this to you. The Greek word baptizo here, it means here from, let me take it right from the Greek. It says, it means you have been placed into a new environment, into a new union as to alter its condition or its relationship from the previous condition. Are you following me? Okay, now let me read it from my Greek study Bible here. It says, babto or baptizo. The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. Now listen carefully. Talking about that word baptized, that word immersed, talking about our identity in Christ, talking about the old man now buried out there in the Jordan. Can't see him. He's gone. We reckon him dead. Amen? Now listen carefully. He said, Nicander said this, it's a recipe for making pickles. Everyone say pickles. Pickles. It's a recipe for making pickles and is helpful because he uses both words. Now, Nicander says, in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should be first babto, or dipped, into boiling water, and then baptizo, or baptized, in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution. Now listen carefully. The bapto, the dipping, the first one is only temporary. The second, baptizo, the second, the act of baptizing the vegetable, produces a permanent change. What does it become? A pickle. You can't get back to being, if once you're a pickle, you're a pickle. Do you understand? No. Oh, listen. No. Listen to me. That's your position. You're not really a pickle, but you know what I'm saying. You know, your position in Christ, you've been, that means not babto, but baptizo. Your position has been permanently changed, permanently altered. Why? You've been baptized into Christ. In other words, not in the water, into his death. His life now becomes your life. Amen? Oh, church, listen, your condition has been permanently altered and cannot be changed if you're truly born again. Listen, you're just a pickle for Jesus, okay? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we've been placed in union with Christ. It says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you were baptizo, or baptized, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. In other words, you're just dripping wet with Jesus, not talking about the water, but into his death, in union with him, in identity with him. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, by one spirit, talking about the new birth, by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, we've all been made to drink into one spirit. So that's what the stones there meant in the Jordan. Now, the stones at Gilgal, well, Jordan speaks of death, but Gilgal speaks of living, resurrection. Amen? So that's what this speaks of here. In other words, not the old man, but the new man. Look at verse 4. It says, therefore we were buried with, not in, but with. That's important. When Jesus was buried, we were buried, in other words. It says, we were buried with him. How? Through baptism into Christ's death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be walking, what? In a newness of life. You know what? We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We're no longer in Adam. We're no longer in the Adam's family, as you hear me say so often. No, we're now in Christ. Now listen, here's the thing that we need to remember and we forget. When we come to Christ, we have received life, a life that we have never had before. Jesus, we're in union with the Lord. living with the Lord, drawing strength from the Lord. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, new creation, behold, old things are passed away, and all things become new. Listen, when he died, we died. When Jesus was raised, we were raised. That's our position. When Christ ascended, it says in Ephesians 2:6 that we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? That is our position in Christ. That's who we are. You know what? We've been permanently altered. We see, we are the new creation. We've been changed. We walk in that newness of life that no one else can have. Church, I don't know how you feel about all that tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no other way to walk except in that newness and in that freshness when the Lord God is our strength. I pray you look unto him this week. I pray that you know who you are, that you know who you are in Christ, in Christ. You know, we can't save ourselves. You know what I'm saying? You can't even be good enough to save yourself, and neither can I. We've all broken the law. Amen? Has anyone here tonight kept the whole law? Anyone kept just the Ten Commandments? Hello? Anybody ever lied? Oh. You just did. Father, tonight, all the activities from today, we just leave at your feet. We're going to leave this chapel tonight, Lord, and we're going to journey home safely as you protect us. And Lord, we're going to just know our true position in Christ. We've been permanently altered. We're saved. And Lord, we're going to wake up in the morning by your mercy and grace, knowing that you had been with us all night long, because you never sleep, you never slumber. Knowing that all the problems that we're going to face tomorrow, maybe throughout the week, you already know about each and every one. And you, Lord, I know by the Spirit, are encouraging us to trust your promises, the spoken, living Word of God. Lord, there are people that are here tonight, the ones that you love, the sheep of your pasture. They, some of them, need a visual from you. Lord, they need you to increase their faith. They need to know that they're going in the right direction, or they're doing the right thing, or they're walking the right way, and that, Lord, they just need something in the midst of their battle or the circumstance that says, here, look here, and where their faith just goes, oh, Lord, thank you for showing me that. Oh, God, I pray tonight, you, O God, as Job said in Job 35:10, Father, he who gives songs in the night. I pray, Father, that you would give your people a new song and that they would sing it. I pray tonight that they would hear your voice as you rejoice over them. I pray tonight, Father, that you would manifest yourself not only, Lord, to them tonight, but in their home place, in their workplace, in just the simple days in and out, the things that we face, that you would manifest yourself to them. Now, Lord, bless them and keep them this week. And we love you with all of our heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen.
Well, Pastor's study of Joshua continues on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we hope you'll tune in once again. And as always, thank you for listening to the program. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. So long for today.
Hey everybody, it's Michelle Pilar, and I want to invite you ladies to the Clothesline Women's Conference. It's May 9th. It's from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Calvary Fort Worth. It's called the Clothesline Conference. It's $25, and we are going to give the Lord an opportunity to get us unstuck. He's fully able. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen it over and over. So please come and bring your friends. We have a lot of fun at the Clothesline, a lot of laughs, music, food. Oh my gosh, can't wait to see you May 9th, and we'll have a great time. God bless you.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.